The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 24. In verse 25, Felix has sent for Paul to hear him concerning the faith in Christ. And then we read in verse 25, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. The Apostle Paul has just presented his case of defense before Felix, having just defended himself against the false charges brought against him by the enemies of the gospel, namely the Jews from Asia. It is now up to Felix to decide what to do with Paul the prisoner. What to do with Paul, the preacher of the gospel. And after listening to the apostle and his defense, it is remarkable that we read here the confession of Felix. Because we read in verse 22, and when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way. Felix had a more perfect knowledge of that way. That was his confession. He confessed to knowing about the way of salvation. We pointed that out in the past, the reference to the way refers to the Christian life. Reference to the way refers to those who are followers of the Lord Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And those who were followers of Christ, that's how they were described, as those who were in the way. And so what Felix is saying here, he had a more perfect knowledge than those who brought their accusations against Paul. He had a more perfect knowledge than Lysias, the chief captain. He had a more perfect knowledge of the way of salvation than all the others. That's what he confessed. Felix was familiar with the way of salvation, just like many today. Many today are familiar with the way of salvation. Felix was familiar with what it took to be a Christian, but he wasn't a Christian. Felix was familiar with the way, what it meant to be a disciple of the Lord, to be a follower of Christ. He knew all about that. He had a perfect knowledge of those things, but he wasn't a follower of Christ. And isn't it sad when men and women and young people have a perfect knowledge of the way of salvation, yet they never walk in that way? They will go out into eternity never having become a follower of Jesus Christ. Never having become a Christian. Oh yes, like Felix, they can say they have a more perfect knowledge of the way. But still, they remain in their sin. They know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. They know also that no man cometh unto the Father but by Christ. They know all that. But still they're in their sin. You have the confession of Felix, you have the choice of Felix. Since Felix had a knowledge of what Paul was talking about, well, you might expect for him to inquire a little more about the way. Instead, we are told that he chose to defer the matter. Verse 22. When Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them. Put it off. He deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. The word here means, the word defer means to cast back. So here is Felix and he's faced with the truth regarding the way. He's reminded of it through the ministry of Paul during his defense. He's reminded of the way and what it is to be a Christian. But we are told then that upon hearing Paul, he deferred the matter. He cast it back. In other words, what Felix did, he put it to the back of his mind. He put it back of his mind until some other time when he'll think about it. Isn't that what many do when they hear the gospel? Maybe that's what you've done. You have a knowledge of the way. You know what it is to be a Christian. You've been exhorted to receive Christ and become a Christian. But you've always, up until tonight, put it at the back of your mind. You don't want to face the matter. You don't want to face up to the matter and to the truth that you need to be saved. That you need to make Christ your Savior. So what do? You put it back. You put it to the back of your mind. Felix was quite expert at doing that. Because here we read that he deferred the matter. And in our text we're told, go thy way for this time when I have a convenient season. There's he doing the same thing again. He's putting it back. When I have a convenient season, I'll think about this matter, Paul. He deferred the matter in the first place, and then he was looking for a convenient season. He put it off. Procrastination, if you like. And once again, men practice procrastination all the time. I remember one of our ministers who visited a man who attended his church. The man wasn't saved. He made it quite clear that he had never become a Christian. And the man became ill and was admitted to hospital. He had cancer. He was dying and he knew it. And one of our ministers would visit him on a regular basis and tell him about Christ and present to him the claims of the gospel and told him he needed to be saved. He says, well, I'll wait. I'll wait till the next time you're here. And every time the minister went to see him, he said the same thing. He was waiting for a more convenient season. He deferred the matter, even though the poor man was dying. And what life he had left came from months down to weeks down to days. He had only a matter of days to live. The minister went again to see him, and again he got the same reply. I'll wait till the next time you're here. Well, for that particular gentleman, he waited too long. Because the next time the minister was there, it was to conduct his funeral. People become quite expert about putting off salvation. They keep looking for that convenient season. They don't want to face the matter. They don't want to face the fact that they are sinners and that their sin will take them to a lost eternity if not forgiven, and that they don't find pardon through the blood of Christ. Why not, if that's what you have been doing, why not play the man tonight and face up to it? And say, and be honest with yourself, and say, I'm not saved, I'm not a Christian. And I know that I need to be. You see the charitableness of Felix. We're told that he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come to him. And so lo and behold, this wicked, evil, ungodly individual shows a certain charitableness towards Paul, the prisoner. He said to the centurion, let this man have some liberty. And when his acquaintance come to visit him, let them see him. And so he showed a certain sympathy or likeness for the apostle Paul. And likewise, there are some who know not the Lord. They don't know the Lord Jesus as Savior, but they have a great deal of respect for the minister who preaches the gospel to them. Maybe they have their favorite preacher, and they would do all they can to help the preacher if he was in difficulty. Just as Felix did. He did what he could to help Paul, but he wasn't saved. He wasn't a Christian. So it doesn't matter who we like or dislike. It's what we do with Jesus Christ. It's what we are before God. Now here's Felix. He has listened to Paul, and he said of Paul, or it was said of him, that he heard these things and he had a more perfect knowledge of that way. And he deferred the matter, put it to the back of his mind. But do you know something? When anyone hears the gospel, when anyone hears the word of God, they may put it to the back of their mind for a while, but will not always stay there. Because you see, this, what we have in our hands tonight, is the living word of the living God. This is no dead word. This is a living word. And lo and behold, this word that Paul had delivered even during his defense lived on in Felix's mind. Because we're told, and after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul. He didn't need to. Paul wasn't now going to appear before the members of the Sanhedrin. He was simply going there at the command of Felix, because Felix wanted to talk to Paul and hear him concerning the faith in Jesus Christ. This was a private meeting, if you like. You see, the word that he had heard certain days before was living on in his mind. And now he wanted to know more about the message that Paul preached. He wanted to know more about faith in Christ. This is, as we've said, a living word. And it continued to speak to Felix, so he sent for Paul and heard him concerning faith in Christ. Paul, being the man that he was, he didn't miss the opportunity. He certainly preached the message about faith in Christ. And I want to look at that message tonight. I want us to notice, first of all, Felix and his appearance. We're told, and after certain days, when Felix came and his wife Drusilla, which was a Jew, yes, he sent for Paul. There's Felix's appearance. He appears once again upon the scene. Here we have Felix and his coming. We're not told exactly how long after Paul's defense that Felix sent for him. It just says after certain days, 30 days, 60 days, maybe 100 days, we don't know. But this we do know, that the word of the Lord lived on in Felix's mind, in his heart. And that's why he sent for Paul again. He sent for Paul that he might hear him concerning the faith in Christ. Doesn't matter how long, how many days or months or years pass by, after a man hears the gospel, hears the word of God, he will always remember it. Because the word lives on. I was speaking to one of our ministers during our week of prayer. We were talking about ministry of the gospel and souls getting saved. And he told me that he just heard recently about a man, a farmer, who sat under the preaching of W.P. Nicholson. W.P. Nicholson was a great evangelist in Northern Ireland in the 40s and 50s. He also preached in Australia and America and Canada. He used to fill the Ulster Hall in Belfast, seated over 2,000 people. And the men who worked in the shipyard, when they came to the end of their working day, they would never go home to get washed up and changed. They would walk from the shipyard to the Ulster Hall in their overalls and their dungarees. Faces all covered in oil and grease. And they would make their way to the shipyard. And it was a well-known sight to see thousands of shipyard workers walking from the shipyard to the Ulster Hall where Nicholson was preaching. And a man who was a farmer sat under the preaching of Nicholson. Now this was over 50 years ago. He sat under the preaching of W.P. Nicholson. He came out from the meetings that he had attended and did not receive the Lord as a Savior. Recently, that farmer, who had just passed 100 years old, now listen, that farmer was out in one of his fields, and suddenly, the word that he heard W.P. Nicholson preach came back to him. And troubled him so much that he came under conviction there in the middle of his own field. He came under conviction, and so great was the conviction that he received Jesus Christ as his Savior in the field. 50 or 60 years after hearing W.P. Nicholson preach, I tell you, it's a living word. The word of God, the gospel message, lived on in that man's heart. He had dismissed it. He had deferred it for years. He maybe even had forgotten about it. Until that day in the field, he thought about what he heard W.P. Nicholson preach. And glory to God, the farmer got saved. Says here, and after certain days, Felix sent for Paul. See, the word was living on. Speaking to Felix, and he needed to see Paul to learn more about faith in Jesus Christ. And you see, my friend, when you hear the gospel, you may at first ignore it. You may reject it. Men might even scoff at it. Others might forget it altogether. But I'll tell you this. Every sermon you have heard preached, every Bible reading you've listened to, every verse, every chapter, every book of the Bible, you will remember if you perish and go to a lost eternity. For hell is a place where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. You know what the worm is? It's your memory. It's your memory. And if you die without the Lord Jesus, I guarantee you will remember this message tonight. You'll remember the night you sat in Port Hope Free Presbyterian Church. You'll remember the text of Scripture. You'll remember the sermon. You'll remember the message. But by then it'll be too late. The Word will not be able to do anything for you. But praise God, it can now. The Word of the Lord can lead you to Christ tonight. You recall the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus lay at the rich man's gate. The rich man fared sumptuously every day, until the day came when the angel of death called on both of them. Immediately Lazarus was taken into the presence of Abraham. Says the rich man also died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. The rich man spoke about being tormented in the flame. He wanted Lazarus to bring him just a drop of water, just a drop. But it couldn't be done because between Lazarus and the rich man there was a great gulf fixed. But then the rich man said this. He says, I have four brethren at home. Send Lazarus to warn them. Send Lazarus to witness to them. And tell them about this awful place. Lest they come into the same condemnation. You know what Abraham said? Abraham says, they have Moses and the prophets. His brethren heard the word of God. He said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them believe them. Do you know something? Whenever the rich man said, let Lazarus testify unto them, Luke 16 and verse 28, for I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Testify. Every time that word testify is used in the New Testament, it has to do with witnessing for Jesus Christ. It has to do with witnessing the gospel. Every reference. So what does that tell me? That tells me the rich man knew all about the gospel. He knew all about the Moses and the prophets. You see, he remembered. He remembered. He remembered the word of God that he had heard in his lifetime. And now it has come back to haunt him. He's down there in hell. He's being tormented in the flame. But he still remembers the word that he heard in his lifetime. And I believe that would have added to his torments. I believe it will add to any man's torments in a lost eternity, remembering the gospel that he heard, remembering the word that was preached to him, remembering the verses and the chapters and the books of the Bible. He'll remember it all, but it'll be too late. And he'll think about and remember those days and those nights that he sat in a gospel preaching church and listened to the gospel. And went out of the meeting without Jesus Christ. Turned a deaf ear. Rather, deferred the matter. Waiting for a more convenient season. But it never came. And they'll remember it. You notice Felix and his company. Felix arrives with, we're told, with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess. This woman, this Drusilla, was the daughter of Herod the Great, who had imprisoned Peter, you recall. And the church prayed for Peter. And the Lord released Peter from prison. And struck down Herod. He was buried and eaten of worms. It's the same Herod. Drusilla was the daughter of Herod the Great and sister of King Agrippa. She was what Matthew Poole described as a most libidinous woman. She was a very sensual, lustful individual. She had left her own husband, Azaz. And while he was still alive, she married this Felix, who was taken up with her beauty. So there sits Felix, a wicked man himself, beside him a wicked woman. She was of the Jewish religion, we're told she was a Jewess. Now, picture the scene now. We have, first of all, Felix, who said he had a more perfect knowledge of the way. We have Drusilla, whom we are told was a Jewess. She was of the Jewish religion. We have her husband, who had a knowledge of the way. We have his wife, who was of the Jewish religion. Do you notice something? Felix had a knowledge of the way, but it didn't make him any better. Drusilla was of the Jewish religion. It didn't make her any better either. Do you see what the Bible is teaching us? Having a knowledge of the truth, having a knowledge of the way, will not change a man's heart. Being religious will not change a man's heart, or a woman's heart for that matter. It's not religion that changes the heart. It's not knowledge that changes the heart. It's Christ. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus. You remember Nicodemus? Nicodemus was a religious man. He was very religious. Yet what the Lord told Nicodemus? You must be born again. You see, the Lord just simply ignored his religion and said to Nicodemus, you must be born again, or the words mean you must be born from above. You remember the rich young ruler? He came to the Lord, wanted to know about the kingdom of heaven and how to get there. And the Lord spoke to him about the law, and the rich young ruler said, yes, I've kept all these from my youth up. Then the Lord said to him, I want you to sell all that you have and give to the poor and take up your cross and follow me. And we're told he went away sorrowful because he had many riches. Nicodemus was religious, but didn't change his heart. The Lord says you still must be born again. Nicodemus was religious. The rich young man had a knowledge of the law, but it didn't make him a Christian. And you see, my friend, this evening, it's not religion you need, it's the Redeemer. It's not learning you need, it's the Lord. As far as the kingdom of heaven is concerned. Notice also Felix and his curiosity. Felix had called for Paul that he might hear him concerning faith in Christ. Verse 24. Felix was interested in learning more about the way of salvation, and oh, if only more people today would show an interest in the way of salvation. You've only to go around the doors with gospel literature to find out that people are more interested in getting away from the way of salvation. And those who are familiar with the gospel, they spent more time avoiding the gospel message than they do wanting to hear it. They spend more energy, more time, avoiding the gospel invitation, avoiding Christ, turning a deaf ear to the gospel, than they do saying, sir, what must I do to be saved? That's true, isn't it? Maybe it's true of someone here tonight. You've been spoken to not only by your minister, but maybe a Christian mother or a Christian father. They've spoken to you about getting saved, but you've deferred the matter. You're waiting for that more convenient season. And you will avoid, as best you can, anyone speaking to you about the Lord. I remember a man I used to visit my first church in Northern Ireland, and you go out to him, his daughter was saved, a lovely Christian girl. Her dad wasn't. And in a way it would bring a smile to my face, because when you went to visit this man, you talk about his farm and so forth, and then you talk to him about the Lord and about his need of salvation. And it was as if he didn't hear you. You start talking about something else completely. You bring the subject before his face again and about his need to get saved, and asking him, when are you going to get right with God? And again, it's as if he hadn't heard me, just talked about something else. He didn't want to face up to the fact he needed Christ. And so he used, as it were, every trick in his book to avoid facing up to the matter that he wasn't saved, he was a sinner, and he was bound for a lost eternity. And yet he wouldn't face up to it. Here's Felix. He's interested in learning more about the way of salvation and faith in Christ. You see, it's important, this matter of faith in Christ, because a soul cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven without faith in Christ. A soul will not avoid the bottomless pit of a lost eternity without faith in Christ. A soul cannot have peace, pardon, and assurance without faith in Christ. And having heard Paul, his curiosity was aroused, and he wanted to know more about faith in Christ. My friend, what about faith in Christ? You know, of course, it's by grace that you're saved, through faith in Christ. You know that. Saved by grace through faith in Christ. There's no other plan, you see. There's no other path. There's no other promise. But grace. By grace you were saved through faith in Jesus Christ. That's it. It's as simple as that. Why do people spend a lifetime looking for some other way? By grace are you saved through faith. We notice how Felix was arrested. Felix and his arrest. Felix appeared there in that room to speak to Paul about faith in Christ. And here you have Felix and his arrest. Now, Paul had been arrested by the authorities because he had preached Jesus Christ and him crucified, and he had been imprisoned and he had been beaten, and he was treated as the offscouring of the earth. But Felix was arrested in another way. This time God arrested him. Felix was arrested by God. We're told that Paul delivered the message. Felix wanted to know regarding faith in Christ. And as Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. He's arrested. He didn't dismiss this Paul out of hand. He was arrested. Notice his discourse, Paul's discourse. He spoke to Felix about righteousness, temperance, and the judgment to come. That's how Paul ministered the word. He reasoned. Acts 17, verse 2. Acts 18, verse 4. Acts 18, verse 19. You read there about Paul reasoning. Paul was no respecter of persons as far as he was concerned. It didn't matter who he was speaking to. Didn't matter about their rank or their position. Didn't matter if it was Jew or Gentile, rich or poor. He was going to preach the gospel. He was going to preach righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. And if ever a man and woman needed to be told about righteousness, it was Felix and Drusilla. If ever a man and woman needed to be told about temperance, it was Felix and Drusilla. If ever a man needed to hear about judgment to come, it was Felix and Drusilla. They knew nothing about righteousness. That was a foreign word to them. Why they walked down in the pit of iniquity and sin. That was their life. They didn't know anything about temperance. They'd thrown off all restraints long ago and fell deeper and deeper into sin. And here Paul delivers this word to Felix, and he says, Felix, you need to be told about righteousness. Because, as Paul said also, it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. In other words, Paul was saying to Felix, you're not right with God. You may have a knowledge of the truth. You may have a knowledge of the way. You may know what it is to be a Christian, but Felix, you're not right with God. You need to be told about righteousness, about holiness, about purity of life, something that was foreign to Felix. What about it tonight? Are you right with God? Are you walking in the path of righteousness or in the path of sin? Do you know where that path of sin will lead you? The way out into outer darkness. That's where the path will lead you. Even though you know, Jesus has said, I am the way. Why would you continue along that path of unrighteousness when Jesus Christ is saying tonight, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And temperance? Felix and Drusilla knew absolutely nothing about temperance. Felix was a man who had sinned with a high hand. He had thrown off all restraint and sinned as freely as the devil incarnate. He sinned as if there was no God to face. As if there was no God to answer to. As if there was no God to deal with. Is that how some have been living? Is that how you live? As if there is no God? As if there are no consequences to your sin? As if there's no condemnation of sin? As if there's no commandments in this Bible about sin? Have you been living as if your sin will never be found out? Have you been living as though your sins are never witnessed by heaven? Have you been living believing that you will never have to pay for sin? You're wrong. You're wrong. The wages of sin, there's your payment. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Remember preaching on that text, and I called the sermon, the worst paid workers who never go on strike. The wages of sin is death. The worst paid workers who never go on strike. But then, he spoke to Felix about judgment to come. Felix would have his day when he would face God, just as every one of us here, the preacher included, will one day face God. As sure as you're sitting in the meeting tonight and you're facing me, and as sure as I'm facing you, the day is coming when we'll all face God. That cannot be escaped. You cannot get away from that. You cannot get over it. You cannot get around it. You cannot get under it. Because you know what Paul said? Paul said, it is appointed unto men once to die after this. The judgment. And yet men today think that man just lives and dies like a dog, and when he dies it's all over, that's it. It's a lie of the devil. It is appointed unto men once to die after this. There's an after. After this, the judgment. The judgment. The book of the Revelation speaks about the judgment. Revelation 6 verses 15 to 17. And the great man of the world, the great man, and the chief captains, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. Listen, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The answer is nobody. The great day of his wrath is come. That's the judgment. And who shall be able to stand? No one. That's it. It's no wonder then, after Paul was finished speaking to Felix about righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, that we read, Felix trembled. That's the power of the Word of God. And there you have his dread. His dread. You know, Paul would not be a very popular preacher today. In many cases, men and women go to church to have, as Paul talked about, their ears tickled. They want to go to church and come out having that warm, fuzzy feeling, as one of our ministers was told. Oh, they would not have the preacher rebuke them for their sin. Oh, they would not want the preacher to highlight their sin. They would not want the preacher to trouble them about their sin. They wouldn't want the preacher to talk to them about hell and about the judgment and the great white throne. Oh no, that would trouble them. Paul wouldn't get into many a pulpit today. Because he preaches righteousness, temperance, and the judgment to come. It was no wonder that Felix trembled when Paul told him about judgment to come. You remember the famous sermon preached by Jonathan Edwards? One of the greatest sermons ever preached. Jonathan Edwards spent 3 days and 3 nights in prayer before he preached that sermon. What was a sermon? Sinners in the hands of an angry God. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And as Jonathan Edwards preached it, he didn't have very good eyesight. He stood in his pulpit and he read his sermon. And he couldn't see what was happening in the congregation. But you know what was happening? Men and women came under such conviction of sin. They stood up and they put their arms around the pillars of the church. Because they were afraid. that at that very moment they would fall into the hands of an angry God. And many that day came under conviction of sin and got right with God. You know, when you think of the judgment, you have every right to tremble. Every right. We get news bulletins from time to time about hurricanes and tornadoes. And you hear people talking about what it was like for them and how they're thankful to God that they survived the tornado. When their houses are just completely wiped off the face of the map. You know something? That's nothing. That'll be a picnic compared to the judgment of God. The sun will cease to give her light. The moon will be turned into blood. The stars will fall from heaven. The mountains will shake. And men will run and hide themselves in the mountains because the great day of His wrath has come. Where will you be in that day? Will you be like those who run to hide in the rocks of the mountains? Or will you already be hiding in Christ, the rock of your salvation? In the last place and finally, you have there Felix and his dismissal. He said to Paul, "Go thy way." Don't say that tonight. If you're not saved, you've heard the gospel message tonight, don't you be saying, "Preacher, go thy way. I'm not interested." That's what Felix was saying. "Go thy way, Paul." And then you have his deferral. He says he's looking for a more convenient season. Something that would be convenient for him. But from this point on, anything you read about Felix, that convenient season never came. He never had another opportunity to get saved. He had a more perfect knowledge of the way. He listened to Paul's preaching on righteousness, temperance, and the judgment to come. He was so under conviction, he trembled. He was almost persuaded to believe. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to feel. Sad, sad the bitter wheel. Almost, but lost. It's a bit like Judas Iscariot. You recall when Judas entered into the garden that night and betrayed the Lord with a kiss. Then he went out, and we're told it was night. And he realized he had betrayed the innocent blood, he went out and hanged himself. Judas, that night, when he came into the garden, you know what he did? He kissed Christ, yes, but he actually kissed the door of heaven. Because Christ is the door. He kissed the door of heaven and he went to hell. He was that near. He was at the very door of heaven. Felix trembled and waited for a more convenient season, a season that never came. Do you know where Felix is tonight? He's with Judas Iscariot. Two men who were almost there. Yet they perished in their sin. Maybe you're under conviction tonight. The Lord, through His Word, has challenged you. You're saying, "Preacher, you're right, I need to be saved. I need to become a Christian." Maybe this is the nearest you'll ever come. Whatever you do, don't go out of the door tonight of this church building and say you're looking for a more convenient season. This is the convenient season now. This is it tonight. Now is the accepted time. Tomorrow is a date on the devil's calendar. Now is a date on the Lord's calendar. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Don't miss the opportunity. It's not by chance you're here. You're here in the providence of God to hear this word, and God has given you a word. Now, what are you going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord our God, we do bless Thee for the way of salvation and how it is a plain way, a straight way, that a wayfaring man, though a fool, could not err therein. Lord, Thou hast said, "I am the way." I pray, Lord, that someone will come to Thee this night and walk in the way and be a follower of Jesus Christ from this day forth. That, O Lord, they will make tonight their convenient season. They'll not defer the matter. But instead, tonight they'll come. For the Lord has said, "Come unto me." May some soul tonight come by Thy grace, by the working of Thy Spirit in their heart. Be with us, Lord, as we part the one from the other. Once again, Lord, bless all our visitors and our friends tonight. Bless our congregation. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.